Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station for the Inner Life at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Hi again, everyone. I'm Chuck Neff. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life, our program about spiritual direction, giving you a little bit of help and hope on your journey of faith. We appreciate you taking time to join us on the program today. And today, St. Peter, as we celebrate in the church today, the chair of St. Peter. He, of course, was our first pope, a great saint in the church, and so much like every one of us with all of his human weaknesses. In today's gospel, we hear Jesus ask the question to his apostles, "Who do you say that I am?" And it is Peter who says, "Well, you're the Christ." And that, of course, begs the question, who do you say that Jesus is? We're going to talk about all of that today. Here to help us on the journey, back with us once again, Father Eric Nielsen. Father Eric is a priest in the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, pastor of the St. Paul University Catholic Center on the campus of the University of Wisconsin in Madison, one of our regulars here on The Inner Life. Father Eric Nielsen, a pleasure to have you back on the program. Welcome. Good to be with you today.
Chuck, it's always great to hear your voice. I always feel comforted when I'm talking to you, Chuck. So I hope all.
Well, you're very kind.
Same feeling.
Well, I do. We're going to talk about that today too, by the way. So anyway, but great to have you with us. So we're going to talk about St. Peter and the chair of St. Peter. What does that mean for all of us? As we do every day, we'll open up our phone lines and hope some of you and our listening audience will join in the conversation today. We'll do that in just a little bit. But Father Eric, get us started. Today's the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter. So what is the Chair of St. Peter? And I guess the other question is, why do we have a feast day for it?
Yeah, it is kind of unusual. You know, there is a Chair of St. Peter's actually in Rome. It's a wooden, I think, oak chair, not too large, but it looks big because it's encased in a big, huge bronze chair, kind of designed by Bernini. You know, so you go to St. Peter's in Rome, and you look over there by that big Holy Spirit window, and you'll see this big, huge bronze chair, and in there is this actual chair that Peter supposedly sat on when he was in Rome. There's some doubt as to its authenticity, and it really doesn't date. I think that chair was given to the Pope in the 8th century, but the feast, actually, of the chair of Peter predates that chair. So the feast day itself comes from the 300s, when they started, you know, just celebrating the fact that Peter had this chair, the Cathedra Petri, which is this idea of the authority of Peter. So when you think of a chair, you know, you think of a throne. St. Athanasius, writing in the 3rd century, called Rome the apostolic throne. So it's the throne in which the Apostle Peter, you know, sits. So really, when we talk about the chair of Peter, we're not really talking about, you know, an actual chair. We're talking about his position of authority in the church, that we're celebrating that. Because why? Because just as you pointed out in, you know, the opening dialogue, Chuck, you know, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And so Peter's the one who gives unity to the church. He's the, in a certain sense, the final authority in the church, and that authority has been given to the popes over the ages. And we need to celebrate this. We need to acknowledge it. We need to thank God for it, that God has given us, you know, one leader in which we are to follow, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church united with this one leader. You know, as you know, our good Protestant brethren, when they broke off from the church, you know, they never stopped breaking off. There's like something like 30,000 different types of, you know, Protestant congregations out there. And the Catholic Church stays one. So we want to stay close to Peter. He has the authority, he has the keys, and he's the one that provides our unity. A family without a father in charge is a divided family. And so the Pope has that ability to keep us together.
Mm-hmm. Father Eric Nielsen, our spiritual director, talking about St. Peter on this feast day of the Chair of St. Peter. And let's open up our phone lines, inviting you to join us on the program today. Toll-free number if you'd like to be with us, 888-914-9149. Our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But I want to ask the question, who do you say that Jesus is? That's the question that Jesus asked of Peter. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that he is? And when did the reality of that truth begin to make a difference in your life of faith? Again, toll-free if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. Our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. So I'm always taken as a convert, Father Eric. I guess I've always been taken with the reality that when we look at our church today in the 21st century, all of our bishops, our priests, you, it all goes back to St. Peter. And I'm just always so taken with the reality of whatever that word is, that our church today goes back 2,000 years to Jesus Christ and the apostles and St. Peter.
Yeah, it's just to broaden that a little bit, and we'll get back to the idea of Peter, Chuck. But, you know, in the beginning, there was all these apostles, right? So you had the 12 apostles, you had St. James and St. John and St. Bartholomew and St. Andrew, and they all started these different, not all of them, but a number of them started these apostolic sees. St. Andrew went to where Constantinople is, and so we have these different apostolic sees developed, and, you know, we have different, in a certain sense, local-type churches with different rites that developed around these. But if you look at Peter, who first went to Antioch and was the bishop in Antioch, and then went to Rome, only in Rome do we have a list of all the bishops that have ever been in Rome from the beginning. You know, you don't have any list in any of the other apostolic sees, only in Rome. And only in Rome do you never have a bishop who commits or teaches heresy or commits heresy. That church never went heretical. You know, the other churches all kind of went into different Christological heresies. The Church of Rome never adopted a heresy. And so there's something really unique about Peter. Peter is always mentioned first in the Gospels. Peter's name is mentioned more than all the other apostles put together in the Gospels. And so there's something really special about this man, this guy Peter. And the other thing, too, when you read the Gospels, his personality is just all over the place. If you just really needed to come up with a personality in Scripture, in the New Testament, I mean, Peter just comes through really strong. You can just really imagine what his personality must have been like. You know, this strong fisherman with a lot of energy, you know, ready for action, you know, always, you know, moving more with his heart sometimes than with his intellect. So this is what makes Rome special. This is what makes the Chair of Peter such a special feast. And this is why we are very, very lucky to have a pope.
Hmm. Father Eric, do you ever think about how your priesthood began with St. Peter?
Now you mention it. I've never really thought of it that much. I suppose it all goes back to, you know, Peter laying hands on somebody who eventually laid hands on me. So I got his hands resting on me. Yeah, I should think about it more often. I'll bring it up in a homily. I'll say it today at Mass at noon. Peter put his hands on me when I was ordained a priest.
I was going to mention this later. Let me mention it now. Some of you I know, and I can see your phone calls. God bless you. This is my last week on Relevant Radio. Moving on. Time to hand the reins of the Inner Life over to Josh Raymond's going to be the new host of the program. And so one of the priests I wanted to have on this week was Father Eric Nielsen. Let me tell you about Father Eric Nielsen. He is so candidly honest, you just can't even believe it. So, Father Eric, I spend a little bit of time I'm prepping the show, I sit here and I take notes and I'm thinking, I come up with these great insights. I come up with these great ideas. And then I get Father Eric Nielsen on the program. And I say, so Father Eric, I said, you know, I was thinking about this today and the way I'm starting to look at this and then whatever that's going to be. And I'll say to Father Eric, is that a good way to look at that? And then Father Eric will say, well, no, not really. And so I knew I had this question down here. Do you ever think about how your priesthood began with St. Peter? I knew you were going to say no.
You just knew it, huh?
I knew it. But I was going to ask the question anyway. So, but but it did, yeah, didn't know, I? That's just, what. Go yeah, ahead.
You know, it's just funny because, you know, the first thing you do when you sit down, you go through your emails. And I got this email just like, this morning from a woman who wants to come for a little spiritual direction. And she just wrote in her email, she said, every week that I come to Mass and you give the homily, you know, she goes on and on. She says, but I really enjoy your unapologetic honesty and frankness.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, but you know, back to, I guess, the point I'm trying to make. I mean, for me as a convert, when I begin to think about our priest today, you know, our pastor, Father Schrader, you know, and all of our priests, all the great priests that I know through the inner life, but all the other great priests that I've had the great privilege of meeting over the years and just spending time with them. And when I start to think about, gosh, it all goes back. You can just kind of trace it all the way back to St. Peter. And the beauty of that for me as a convert in the Catholic Church is really extraordinary.
Yeah, you know, it is very beautiful, Chuck. And just as a priest, I'll tell you the way I look at it as a priest. When I think of my priesthood, I think of Jesus Christ and my identity with Jesus, because that's really obviously where my priesthood comes from. It comes from me being ordained to be, you know, another Christ in the place of Christ. So when I'm there celebrating the Eucharist, I'm not thinking of Peter. I am thinking of Christ, and when I'm in the confessional, you know, I'm thinking of Christ because I'm Christ to the world, right? And what Peter does for me is Peter stabilizes and protects that relationship. He makes it authentic, he makes it true, and he keeps me from abusing that power and abusing that relationship with the people that I serve. So if I stray from Peter, I'm going to stray from this authentic relationship that I'm supposed to have with Jesus Christ. And I think that's the great beauty of being Catholic, is that even though your pastor is in charge, you know, it's Jesus who's in charge. And what's protecting that is the papacy, the bishop, and this unity that we all have with Peter from the beginning. There's a great story about, you know, when the I think it was the Nestorian controversy was going on in Chalcedon, and Pope Leo wrote a letter to the bishops there that are arguing about the nature of our Lord Jesus. You know, the Tome of Leo was read, and they stood up and they said, you know, Peter has spoken through Leo, and the case was just, you know, then the council was over. They had their answer. And so when I really think of Peter, that's what I really think of, the ability of my identity with Christ and my teaching to be protected from error.
Yeah, well, and then Father Eric, when we look at the life of St. Peter, and certainly celebrating the chair of St. Peter today, the authority of St. Peter in our church, what are some of the lessons that we should be taking away from this man? And I mean, you're right, to talk about the personality, the energy. I think of St. Peter, I think, man, this guy had to be tough, had to be really rough in terms of dealing with being a fisherman and, you know, just the temperamental Sea of Galilee and everything they were dealing with. He had to be really, really tough is the word I keep using. But what can this great saint be teaching us today?
Yeah, I think, you know, when I think of Peter, I think of practicality. You know, he's a fisherman, you know, so things have to work. You know, he's just not lost in the clouds. You know, he's just a very down-to-earth, practical man that wants to get things done. And so I take that away from him. But most importantly, I think when we think of Peter, we think of his denial of Christ. You know, he denies our Lord three times. You know, so we see Peter, we see him, you know, he's pulling a sword. He's the first one to say, you know, let's go with our Lord to die with him. You know, he's all ready to die with him. He's all excited and exuberant about the whole thing. But when push comes to shove, the crowd that he is with overcomes his initial fervor, and he denies our Lord. And then our Lord later, you know, takes him and, you know, builds him up again and makes him the head of the church. And I think that just parallels our own spiritual life so often. You know, we go on retreat or we go somewhere and we're all excited, we're all exuberant. We're just really going to live, you know, my new Christian faith with great vigor. And we go home, we get around our workplace, we get around the people, and suddenly before we know it, we're back to old ways and we're denying our Lord. And Peter teaches us that Jesus wants to work with that and still pull us up and elevate us, you know, and put us to where we rightly belong. So we should not give up, that Jesus is never done with us. So I think that's what we learn, you know, from Peter.
We are talking today about St. Peter, and phone lines are open if you'd like to join us. But who do you say that Jesus is, and when did the reality of that truth begin to make a difference in your life of faith? And what does St. Peter teach you? We'd love to hear that answer. Father Eric Nielsen is our spiritual director. Toll-free phone number if you would like to join us, 888-914-9149. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's Gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven."
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. Call in now to share your story with our Inner Life spiritual directors. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for joining us on the program. Chuck Neff, along with our producer, Nick Schmitz. Jake Moore is answering your phone calls today, and Father Eric Nielsen is our spiritual director. Father Eric, a priest in the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, pastor of the St. Paul University Catholic Center on the campus of UW in Madison, one of our regular contributors here on The Inner Life with us from the beginning, almost 15 years. Talking today on this Feast of the Chair of St. Peter about St. Peter. Phone lines are open if you would like to join us. Toll-free phone number 888-914-9149. Don't forget you can email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But as we talk about St. Peter, what does St. Peter teach you? And certainly St. Peter saying, confessing that Jesus is the Christ. So who do you say Jesus is when you're asked that question? When did the reality of that truth begin to make a difference in your faith journey? We'd love to hear the story again, toll free if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. So, Father Eric, let's get to some phone calls for you. And Nancy, listening in Sacramento, thank you for the phone call. Welcome to the program today.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. What I've been thinking about before today, even, and I've been reading the New Testament, trying to read a chapter or more every day, and think about Christ establishing the church with Peter as the head. It's so definite. There's just no choice about that. That's how it happened. And I'm just wondering, how do all these other churches start breaking away from what was told, what Christ told, and how the church was started with one church? And it just kind of puzzles me as to how all at once, not all at once, but through the years, how we get all these other ones that decided to change things a little bit. It just kind of puzzles me.
Yeah, it is very puzzling, but I think if you see Peter's, if you downplay the headship, there's an also part in the scripture where, and I wish I could bring this up right away, where Peter gives, where our Lord gives authority to the apostles as a group, and not just specifically to Peter. So we don't want to accent Peter too much, that authority was also given to the church as a whole, and Protestants tend to kind of downplay Peter's unique significance, and they play up the authority that Jesus just gave to the church as a whole. And also they tend to see the church as a spiritual reality and not as a concrete physical reality. As Catholics, we see the church as both a spiritual reality, but also that, you know, a concrete physical reality that actually exists. And Protestants tend to see the church a little bit more spiritualized. But it just comes to people being stubborn, being in fights with each other. So, you know, how do people get a divorce? You just wonder how they can get a divorce. And when you want to get a divorce, you can come up with all sorts of reasons why it's the right thing to do. And I think that's kind of what happened. So let's pray. Let's pray we can overcome it.
Yeah.
It starts with German stubbornness.
Nancy, thanks for the call today. And to me, that's I remember riding through, we were on a production assignment in West Virginia, and I just remember riding through all of these towns in West Virginia, and it just seemed like every other corner had some different kind of Christian church. And it just always reminds me that when we disagree with something the Catholic Church says, well, one of the answers becomes, well, I'll start my own church because this is what we believe. And then somebody says in that church, well, I don't believe all of that. We'll start our own church. And it just kind of keeps rolling on, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Yeah. And pretty much, you know, there's some exceptions to this, but pretty much you can, if you walk into a Christian church, you can just, they believe everything. They don't believe everything, but you can just see what they believe by Xing out things that Catholics, that they don't want to believe about the Catholic faith. Usually every Christian church just kind of grabs a piece of the Catholic faith and runs with it and leaves the rest behind.
Yeah. So, all right. Nancy, thanks again. Father Eric Nielsen is our spiritual director, talking about St. Peter today. Let's take another phone call for Father Eric Nielsen. And Father Eric, I know you know Father Eric in Madison, Wisconsin, and he would like to join in the discussion today.
Well, hello, Chuck. Hello, Father Eric. It's the other Father Eric.
Oh, great. How exciting. You must be on the road.
I'm on the road. Yep, absolutely. But I wanted to call two reasons. Chuck, the thanks to you for your years of great work. It's always profited me and all the priesthood you've been on. And, of course, I'm good friends with Father Eric. And I did have what I hope is a decent question, just a little commentary of your insights, perhaps, on how you feel, what prominence you feel the letters of St. Peter found in sacred scripture play in the contemporary spiritual life.
Oh, that's a very good question. I wish I had a very, very deep answer for you, Father Eric. But whenever I read the letters of St. Peter, I'm always struck, again, by what I brought up early in the program, how practical and down-to-earth and straightforward they are, and how Catholic they are. You know, they're part of the Catholic epistles. And I think the letters of St. Peter really ground us back into the reality of the church hierarchy and the need for the church. So without just rereading them quick and calling them to mind, I would say that's what comes to my mind first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Father Eric, thanks for joining us. Yeah, it's been a while. Nick, bring him back up just for a second. So, Father Eric, it's been years since you've been on The Inner Life.
Yes, it has, but that's all right.
he doesn't hold it against. He's a forgiving man, Chuck.
Is he? Okay. Well, you know, the reality is we can only have one Father Eric in Madison, Wisconsin. So anyway, hey, thanks for calling in today. Pleasure to have you on the program. Father Eric Nielsen, our spiritual director, talking about St. Peter. Give us a little bit of an overview again of the life of St. Peter. We talk about him denying the Lord, but in the end, he gave his life for our Lord Jesus. And I often think that that's part of what we're called to do as well. Maybe not to actively, be a martyr, but we're called to say yes and give our own lives, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know exactly, when Peter was born. He probably was very similar in age to our Lord. And he's growing up there in Palestine. He's a fisher on the Sea of Galilee. He meets our Lord, and his life changes forever. He's a married man. We would assume that he wasn't uncommon in those days. You lived in very extensive family units. So, to leave your wife and your children with, financial means amongst other family members would not have been unheard of. And he, establishes a church first in Antioch, but then ends up in Rome. And in Rome, there's a classic story of him, during a persecution, the Diocletian persecutions in Rome. He leaves Rome to escape the persecution, and on the way out of Rome, on the Appian Way, he meets our Lord Jesus walking back into Rome. And he asks our Lord, Quo Vadis, where are you going? And Jesus looks at him and says, I'm going back to Rome to be crucified. And so with that vision, Peter decides that his real place is to go back to Rome to be with the church there. So he turns to Rome, and he is crucified in the circus of Nero. I guess it's not the circus. He's crucified in the Vatican Circus up on Vatican Hill. And he's crucified upside down. And his disciples take his body and bury it there, kind of in an unmarked grave, because the Romans knew that the Christians would venerate that grave, and they didn't want it to be stolen. And that's where Jesus stayed buried. Or I'm sorry, that's where our Lord had Peter buried. So Peter's buried there on the Vatican Hill outside of Rome. So the Vatican Hill was not in ancient Rome, because the Romans would only bury people outside of the city. So the Vatican Hill is a hill outside of Rome on the other side of the Tiber. So what happens then is Constantine wants to build a church in honor of St. Peter. He builds it on that hill, and interestingly enough, the Romans had a real social faux pas against moving people's bodies once they were buried. So in order to build the new St. Peter's Basilica with the altar over the body of St. Peter, he had this huge excavation project level the hill and position that building right over the tomb of St. Peter. It was eventually rebuilt in the 17th century with the magnificent structure that we see today. And during World War II, they excavated under the altar, the high altar there at St. Peter's. And there they discovered some bones wrapped in scarlet silk thread with gold. And they did an analysis on it and found out that it was the bones of a robust 60-year-old man who lived probably in the first century. So if you go to St. Peter's, you look at that big high altar, there underneath that altar is the bones of St. Peter.
Wow. Quo Vadis.
Literally on this church.
Yeah. And Quo Vadis, where are you going? I wonder if that's a question we should be asking ourselves today.
Well, that's a great thing.
Where are you going?
Quo Vadis. Yeah, that's a great meditation for all of you today after Mass today. Why don't we all do that after Mass? And, you go to Mass, maybe you've probably already gone, or you're praying this afternoon. Just visualize Jesus looking at you and saying those words, where are you going? Where are you going? That is a great question.
Yeah, wow. Father Eric Nielsen, our spiritual director, let's take another phone call. Greg, listening in Henderson, Nevada, you are up next. Thank you for waiting, and welcome to The Inner Life today.
Thank you very much. One thing that I've always been concerned with or confused with is when the Lord named Peter as the head of the church and said, which I think was the institution of sacrament of reconciliation, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. As it is on earth, so it is in heaven. Does a priest by that biblical quote or words from our Lord, could they say to a penitent, hey, these sins are bound on earth and they'll be bound against you in heaven? Or are they all loosed on earth and loosed in heaven? Are you fully forgiven? Is there any compromise therein? Thank you, Father.
Yes, I would say that was, so our Lord gave that gift to the bishops, the apostles gathered together in the upper room. The sins you forgive are forgiven them. And then as a priest, he has that power to forgive sins as long as he's in union with his bishop. You know, the bishop would call me up tomorrow and say, you know, I'm sorry, Eric, but I'm taking away your faculties to hear confessions. You know, that can be done. And in the past, there's even priests ordained who were never given the faculties to hear confessions. They're only given the faculties to say Mass. So that's a faculty given by the Holy Spirit from Jesus through the apostles and then later given to the bishops. And so the bishop gives me that authority. Now, the bishop might withhold some of that authority. Like in the past, for the sin of abortion, for instance, that could only be loosed by the bishop himself. A priest did not have that authority. But because abortion has become so prevalent in these years, every priest has been given that authority directly by the Pope, interestingly enough. That was just done recently. Prior to that, most bishops gave that authority to the Pope. This is probably more information than you need, but anyway, the bottom line is that if a priest says, no, I'm sorry, I'm binding you to that sin. So if a priest gives you absolution, he absolves all of your sins, and if he binds you to a sin, he does not give you absolution. So it's not like a priest will say, I forgive you of this sin, but we're not going to forgive you of that sin. It's pretty much an all or nothing deal. And what would make it a nothing deal? You confess the sin of adultery, but you are still, you know, you're going on a vacation next week with the woman you're committing adultery with, and you have no intention not to commit the sin again. Well, in that case, the priest is going to say, I'm sorry, you know, I'm not going to give you absolution because you have no firm amendment to stop committing the sin again. So that would be an instance in which a priest would bind you to that sin.
Greg, thanks for the question. We appreciate you joining us on the program today. Father Eric Nielsen is our spiritual director on this Feast of the Chair of St. Peter, talking about St. Peter. And what does St. Peter teach you with his life? What does he teach you about your faith journey? And who do you say Jesus is? When did the reality of that truth begin to make a difference in your life of faith? Toll-free phone number if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
If you missed part of the program, you can listen to this show and any of your favorites on the Relevant Radio app or online at relevantradio.com. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us on the program. Father Eric Nielsen, our spiritual director on The Inner Life today. Father Eric, one of our regular contributors, a priest in the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, pastor of the St. Paul University Catholic Center on the campus of UW in Madison, talking today on this Feast of the Chair of St. Peter about St. Peter. A little bit of time left in the program. If you would like to join us, and what does St. Peter teach you in your journey of faith? Toll-free number 888-914-9149 if you'd like to join us. In the time we have left, I just want to take a minute. I mentioned earlier, this is my last week on Relevant Radio, 15 years, coming up on 15 years. On The Inner Life, it's just been an incredible experience for me, and part of the great gift of being the host on here is I get to spend an hour a day talking with a Catholic priest and you and our listening audience about really important things in our life, the real the very important stuff, not talking about our favorite team or anything like that, but really about our faith. And it's been an incredible gift for me to be able to do that. And so, Father Eric Nielsen, I wanted to say personally thank you for being with us from the beginning. We've had the good fortune of being together a number of times over the years, and I just so appreciate your candidness and your help on the program, and just the real gift that you are to the church, and certainly the gift that you have been to the Inner Life. So I just wanted to personally, to all of our listeners coast to coast and around the world, to say thank you for all you've done for the Inner Life.
Oh, you're very welcome, Chuck. It's been a pleasure for me. It's always a learning experience, and you know, like I said before, just being with you brings a great deal of comfort. You know, I never feel like anything's really going to go wrong when I'm on the show, when you're there. And, you know, I've been very moved by, you know, the talking to the listeners that have called in, you know, with their own spiritual life and the things they struggled with and how they've overcome them. So, yeah, it's a great privilege to be on the radio with you, Chuck. And yeah. I'm gonna miss talking to you, and I hope I get to see you more often.
Oh, we'll figure out a way to do that. Trust me. So, but it's just been really an incredible journey for me. And again, to hear the stories of our listeners, it's just been extraordinary. I said they have a little article on the webpage today, relevantradio.com. I said, I got to tell you, there's times when the stories just bring tears to my eyes. And it's probably a good thing that it's radio, so they can't see the show host with tears in his eyes. But it's just been an amazing journey for me. And Josh Raymond's going to be taking over. We didn't know if this was a good idea when we started 15 years ago, spiritual direction on the radio, but it's just been incredible. And I know so many of you have been touched by what we've done here on the program. Your emails, God bless you. Thank you for your emails. And they've been very moving, and I just so appreciate the kind words that so many of you have been sharing last week and into this week as well. So thank you. And let's take a phone call. Danielle in Northern Maine, I know what you're going to say here, Danielle. So I want to say thank you for listening.
I want to thank you for all the spiritual and the priests that come in every day. I give up TV 5 years ago for Lent, and I've never gone back. Maybe a True Story movie once in a while, but that's it. Just well, the radio, and I learn, and it was, you know, and I called back along quite a while ago, maybe when the pandemic and we couldn't go to church, and you and one of your priests like said to hold on, and you know, and you offered to pray for me, and I just won't ever forget that, and I will miss you.
Wow.
Your kind voice and caring, and like you said, the tears that some of the callers, you know, I'm cheerful just thinking about it all, but I wish you the best, and thank you for all your help through all these years.
Well, Danielle, thank you for taking the time to listen and call in today. Your kind words are very enriching, and it's time. You know, it's been 15 years, and it's time. You know, and I know they're going to continue the show. The show is just so unique. It's just so incredible. You're just the subjects we cover, the priest like Father Eric who come on and spend time with us to make that all happen. So, Danielle, God bless you. We appreciate that. I'm sitting here kind of chuckling to myself. Quo vadis, Father Eric, where are you going? Well, that's a good question for Chuck Neff this week.
Where's Chuck going?
Yeah, well, he's got a few ideas, but he's just going to take it easy, spend a little more time with his cute wife, and travel a little bit, maybe try some more writing and stuff like that. But we're just going to let the Holy Spirit take care of it and figure that out. But we'll see what happens here. Anyway, Danielle, God bless you. Thanks so much for joining us on the program today. And well, let's go back to the phones. And we have Father Eric Nielsen, Father Eric Sternberg joined us from Madison. We have another Eric in Wisconsin. So, Eric, welcome. You're on the air with Father Eric Nielsen.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to point out that in lieu of the Bible text for like Saint Joseph, I really love Saint Peter for the fact that I can look to him and his example, all of the trials and tribulations he went through, and even though he would constantly slip up, you know, people would still look to him as the head of the church. And so as a head of my domestic church with my wife and five children, I really love looking to St. Peter for that.
Very good. Yeah, he's a model. He's more of a concrete model than St. Joseph. Peter, you can see him, you know, doing his thing so much. And but though St. Joseph, it's the year of St. Joseph, I guarantee if you start praying to St. Joseph, you'll start to pick up his vibe, if you will, or his presence in your life as a father as well. So
yeah.
I think the two of them go hand in hand pretty well.
Yeah. Eric, thanks for joining us. We appreciate that. You know, one of the things that I guess I admire, have learned, that St. Peter's yes to be that fisherman of men was immediate. He didn't say, got to go home and check with my wife. I need to probably get a few friends together and discern this or anything like that. He just said yes when he was invited to follow the Lord. And to me, that's such a great lesson in my own life.
Yeah, you know, he was a leader. And, you know, it's the great example of leadership that I see with St. Peter, too, is right after the resurrection. They've seen our Lord once, and they're kind of standing around. They don't know what to do. And Peter says, I'm going fishing. You know, he doesn't say, who wants to go fishing, or do you guys want to go fishing? He doesn't say, do you guys want to go fishing with me? I think it's a good idea. He just gets up and says, I'm going fishing. This is what I'm going to do. And in that action, he meets our Lord. And in our life, so often, we just kind of look around and see what other people are doing before we decide what we want to do. And Peter doesn't do that. He just strikes out. And that can be a little rash at times, and maybe not prudent at times. But when it comes to getting to know Jesus, you just have to make that decision on your own. This is what I am going to do. I am going to get closer to Jesus Christ. I'm going to start going to Mass. I'm going to start reading my Scripture and not look to the left or the right. And so that's another quality of Peter. And that's what a father has to do, to show that real leadership. This is what I'm doing. Come with me.
Father Eric Nielsen, our spiritual director, talking about the Chair of St. Peter. That's the feast we're celebrating in the church today. And Father Eric, we talk about what we're celebrating today. And we look to the Holy Father, pray for the Holy Father. But can you just talk a little bit about the need to love the Pope?
Yeah, we have to have a great love for the Holy Father, because we need to pray for him. We need to have affection for him. We need to see what he's doing in the best possible light. We don't want to really, you know, if we are isolated or not attached to our Father, the family goes wrong. We, you know, even if our Father's not the best man in the world, we love him, we support him, and we stay close to him. And St. Jose Maria would say, without the Pope, we are nothing. And the devil wants to divide us. The devil wants to conquer us by dividing us. And the way we overcome that is by unity with the Holy Father. And it's hard to have unity with the Holy Father unless we also have affection for him. I think St. Catherine of Siena called the Pope, you know, my sweet boo-boo or something like that, you know, my sweet Christ on earth. St. Catherine of Siena, my sweet Christ on earth. Now, she still took the Pope to task at times and told him, look, you're doing the wrong thing, you should do this. But she did it with love and affection and a great sense of unity. So that's what we want to have with our Holy Father.
You know, I think that's such a good analogy because, you know, certainly as a father of four children, I think we can all say this. There are days when we don't particularly like our children. It doesn't mean we don't love them. And so just that need to pray for the Pope and love for the Pope, that's really something all of us need to really take seriously, don't we?
Yeah, and we got to have the faith that the Holy Spirit has picked this Holy Father, and he's acting through this Holy Father, and the Holy Spirit's going to bring out the salvation of the most souls possible through this Holy Father. You know, and when you look at the popes throughout the ages, you know, we've had popes, some great popes, some mediocre popes, some not so great popes, but they were all our Pope and they were all our Father, and the Church needed to be united to them. So that's the way we should approach it.
Yeah. Father Eric Nielsen, our spiritual director, talking about the chair of St. Peter, the authority of St. Peter, and the authority of the Pope, our Holy Father. And Father Eric, just a little bit more on St. Peter, if you would. What does St. Peter teach us about our own struggles? I mean, just what he went through to follow Christ was not easy. Yes, he did give his life for the Lord, but he struggled, and certainly we struggle too, don't we?
Yeah, we do, Cyril, and I think that as much as we see Peter trying to do it on his own from time to time, I think one of the great things about Peter is he does seem to have a great humility. You know, he's willing to admit his mistakes. He's willing to see that he kind of might have walked on the wrong path. You know, he's willing to take correction. You know, when our Lord looks at him and says, "Get behind me, Satan," I'm sure he got behind our Lord. And so, you know, to have that ability to, you know, make decisions and go forward, but at the same time have the humility to realize that, you know, I often make mistakes and I do the wrong thing, but as long as I recognize that, you know, I'll be okay. You know, humility can really... Just as charity covers a multitude of sins, humility recovers from a multitude of sins.
Mm-hmm. And you alluded a little bit earlier about the life of St. Peter, about not quitting, quo vadis, and turning around. But can you talk to us just a little bit more about that? Because I think sometimes we think, you know, we're following Jesus Christ, and we think, shouldn't this be easier? Well, no, maybe not. But just this whole idea of not quitting, of persevering in our faith journey.
Yeah, you must persevere. That's the greatest gift that you can have is final perseverance. And by patient endurance, you will gain your salvation. And so when you decide to follow our Lord, you have to expect the cross. And you have to expect some suffering. And if our Lord seems to be giving you suffering to the limit, it's only because he's got a great reward waiting for you in heaven. And he is going to give you that reward for all of eternity. So, you know, just reject that temptation from the devil to feel sorry for yourself and feel as if, you know, you're being unduly picked on. You know, maybe you are being unduly picked on, but if you're being unduly picked on, our Lord is allowing it and he's giving you the grace to endure it, and you'll come out of it a better person. Saint Peter came out of it a better person for the sufferings that he endured, and so will you. To be Catholic is to be united to the Vicar of Christ, the Body of Christ, and the Mother of Christ. And with those three things, we can get through anything.
Well, and just, you know, back to St. Peter, just the life he led, the response to Jesus, everything that was, I just identify with him so much. I mean, just in terms of walking on the water and, you know, yeah, you can do that. Then he took his eyes off Jesus and things didn't work out so well. And it's such a great lesson, just so much of his life. The weaknesses just speak to me so much because I can see my own weaknesses in the story of St. Peter. But he can just teach us so much, can't he?
I think that's a great point for you, Chuck, as you start going forward. Just to give you a little spiritual direction here on the air. And as you move off into whatever where you're going is... maybe our Lord is going to ask you to walk through some turbulent waters or be in a little bit of a boat. I mean, you've got a lot of fight left in you. And as long as you keep your eye on the prize, which is the Lord Jesus, you're going to do fine.
Yeah. Well, I said the other day that a new chapter coming, and I'm a page turn away from finding out what that's going to be. So we'll figure that out, all for the glory of God indeed. Father Eric Nielsen, time to wrap things up. Great to have you on this week. Thanks for all you do for us. And we'd like to close with a final blessing for all of our listeners.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All our listeners, why don't we just pray for Chuck right here in his last week. And Chuck, we pray for you. May God bless you, protect you, keep you safe, and bring you to your eternal reward with great joy in your heart. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father Eric Nielsen, thanks for the prayer. Appreciate that a lot. Thanks for joining us on the program today. Thanks to all of you for joining us on The Inner Life today as well. Stay tuned. We're celebrating Mass, 12:30 Central, The Faith Explained with Cale Clark. And we're back tomorrow. Hope to see you then.